Again, it is good to see all of you here on this very special day of Mother's Day. And as I mentioned earlier on, that the sermon today is about a mother's sacrifice. There are many things a mother will do for their children. The unfailing love has to be at the top of the list. And that idea of sacrifice is rooted in a mother's love. A mother will soothe hurts, encourage, nurture, teach, I pray discipline. But as I said, a mom will sacrifice. As I was preparing for this message, I read many stories of a mother's sacrifice. I can remember my own mother and home. When we were growing up, my dad, as I said, has been unhealthy since he was 36. He was actually injured at work, and so there were five of us living on $60 a week for a while. And so mom would sacrifice greatly, and sometimes I don't know how to respond to that because I don't know how she did it. But there's stories here among you of the sacrifices made. As I've said, I read many stories this week and started to bring many of them, but I'd rather bring you some stories of sacrifice from the biblical perspective. And I have three such stories here of mothers sacrificing greatly. But then when I get to the end, I want to make the point of the direction of that sacrifice in reality. So if you have your Bibles and would like to join me, first of all, in the book of Exodus, Doug will put it on the screen for us. It is Exodus 2, 1 through 10, and you can probably imagine it is the story of Moses. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Let me stop there before I read on. The context here is Pharaoh is a little upset that the Israelites are growing in such vast numbers that he is feeling threatened and has sent out a decree to kill all of the children. Picking up at verse 3, when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done with him, to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Notice the story of Moses. We all know it well, but here I'm looking at Moses' mother. Her name is Jochebed. Placing him in a basket in the Nile was incredibly dangerous. Yet she felt it was the only way that she could save her child from Pharaoh's wrath. It was Jochebed's faith in God that led her to sacrifice her place as Moses' mother. Please realize what this lady did. In order to save her child, she had to give him away. Jochebed was being obedient to the leading of the Spirit, and it was the providence of God leading her in these activities, just as it was at the time of Pharaoh's cruelty in killing the children. God provided for protection for Moses. And we can look at God and say how wonderful his providence is, that he spared Moses' life and raised him to be the deliverer of Israel. But please do not lose sight of this mother. Yes, she was blessed to be the nurse called to raise the child, but then she had to give Moses away. Here we see Jochebed's obedience to deny her heart as a mother. Moms, put yourself in this place. Knowing that your only way you would protect your child would be to give him away. Sacrifice indeed. Next story I have for you is from the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. You see it on the projection there. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Again, Samuel's place in the Lord's ministry is the centerpiece of this story. But Hannah has a place of prominence here. Hannah's prayer follows immediately in chapter 2. But please note what Hannah did here. Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed for this child. Hannah prayed for her to be blessed with a child. Yet with grateful acknowledgement, she, like Jochebed, gave the child away. Hannah's sacrifice was an acknowledgement of God's provision in her life. Again, we see a strong faith in Hannah. Again, we see the providence of God working here to bring Samuel up to the place of where he would serve in Israel. But please do not lose sight of Hannah's sacrifice. Again, great sacrifice, giving away the child, putting him in ministry to serve under Eli, and then become the priest of Israel. Mom, again, I ask, could you take your child, put him in a place, and leave them there? The next story I have for you is found in the book of John. John chapter 19, verse 25. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Just passing the Easter season, we know the story. The crucifixion and the work of Jesus Christ to fulfill what God had decreed. Again, we see the great providence of God at work here, that God had laid out all things necessary to bring justice to his name for the sin of the people, but also salvation for those people, his children, through the death of Jesus Christ. But I ask you once again, to not lose sight of Mary. We know Mary's story well, being the young lady who the Spirit visited, bringing about the birth of Jesus Christ. And so her sacrifice began at a very young age. But yet she, just like Hannah, just like Jochebed, gave up her son to the ministry that he was called to. And we can, you know, we can rationalize this and say, oh, but this was God. Oh, but this was Jesus Christ. Does that change a mother's love for a child? No. Except Mary has the unique position, unlike Jochebed, unlike Hannah, to witness her son's scourge and beating. Yet she knew, I believe she knew in her heart, it was to fulfill. And then as this scripture I read here, she witnessed her child's death. Something parents shouldn't have to do. But yet here is the greatest sacrifice of all. And there's sacrifices all around here. Jesus giving up his mother to John to be cared for. Mary giving up her son to the cross. But here's the point I would like to make in all of this. As I said, mothers will sacrifice. As I said about my mom, there's stories about each of you I am sure your children could give. You could give about your work with your children, what you would do, what you have done for them. But here's the teaching point, and there's two, actually, that I'd like to make. Each of these mothers sacrificed for their children and sacrificed their children. But it was not, in the end, a sacrifice for the child. It was a sacrifice for God. You see, Jochebed sacrificed Moses, as she was obedient to her faith, not knowing the outcome of what Moses' life would be. But she understood the call of God in her own life, and she protected this child, and she gave this child to God. And he was the deliverer of Israel from Egyptian bondage. He was also the foreshadow of Jesus Christ himself. Hannah, sacrificing for Samuel, yes. He grew to be the priest of Israel that anointed the mighty King David. But please know again, her sacrifice was not, in the end, for Samuel. It was sacrificing Samuel to God for the ministry. Mary, of course, sacrificed her son because his name was Jesus. And as she was told by the angel, he would be the Savior of his people. And that salvation was death on the cross. So again, her sacrifice was not for Jesus Christ directly. It was for God to fulfill the ministry, to fulfill the call that God had placed on Moses, on Samuel, and then on his only son, Jesus Christ. Moms, you will sacrifice a great deal for your children. But this is what I pray for all of us who are parents, but for you as mothers, that just as these women have shown the sacrifice for the children, but have shown more greatly that it is a sacrifice leading their children toward God. You see, that's the aim, I pray, of our sacrifice. Is that, yes, we give up for the well-being of our children, but we give up more for the well-being of our children being grown into and growing up into the ministry, being a child of God, whatever ministry that might be, a husband or a mother themselves, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a teacher. Because each one of those places can be that ministry where they reflect God's love for them. And so mothers, when you are raising your children, let them understand that this sacrifice I'm making to raise you is so that you become all that God has for you to become. Not me, not you. But what does God desire for the children? My mom has told me, said, Tim, I knew one day you'd be in the ministry somewhere. I'm sure there were quite a few years you're going, are you sure? But yes, Mama, here I am. But please don't hear that you have to be a pastor to fulfill what God has for you. As I said, a dad, a mom, raising other children. But let that sacrifice for your children be what they need to live in this world by all means. But let it also be what they need to live for God's calling. The second point, and it's even yet a larger perspective looking at this. When you sacrifice for your children, you are modeling for them Jesus Christ. Because as the story goes for the crucifixion, Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life entirely for the well-being of those whom the Father had given him. And so let your sacrifice be that all that's necessary for the well-being of your children, but moving them toward God, but letting them know, I sacrifice you because I love you. Look what Jesus Christ did for you. See, that's a great teaching point, and you're the illustration. You're the illustration. Because you see, Jesus Christ, although he was following the God's decrees, he says in John 10, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for my children. Moms, I know you would do the same thing. One story I read of a mother's sacrifice was in, I forget the country, but there was a volcano, an earthquake, et cetera, et cetera. And a woman and a child trying to run from the ash, but the ash finally consumed them. When the rescue workers got to the woman, they noticed that she was laying somewhat in a humped circle with her shroud covering her entirely. And when they rolled her over, they found her child laying in her arms. And the child was alive. But mom had died. They placed the child with family members, but the family member said, we will make sure the child knows that story. Because that child is alive, because God decreed it. But the mother was the instrument of sacrifice to bring it to pass. See, moms, that's your place. I hope you don't have to protect your children in that way. But see, that's what God has given you to do, is to raise that child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, bringing them to know Jesus Christ. Please, parents, do not fall for Satan's lies. It causes my skin to just crawl when I hear parents say, no, we will let the child grow up and choose for themselves what they would like to do. No, Mom. Teach your children Jesus Christ. Jochebed gave Moses to God for the ministry. Hannah gave Samuel to Eli to God for the ministry. Mary gave Jesus Christ away. That mother's heart watched him die, but knew that it was God's decree. I pray we raise our children in that direction. Father in heaven, thank you for the wonderful teaching we see from these ladies. But Father, this is your decree. Let us all be obedient to raising our children to know who you are, to fulfill the ministry, the place in life, wherever it might be, that you have for them. But most of all, let us raise the children so that they know who you are. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.